and welcome to the latest instalment in this special series of Tech Weekly podcasts, coming to you live from two of the world's top technology shows. My name's Bobby Johnson, and today I've strapped on my shades and slipped on my best gambling shoes to visit Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, which promises to deliver all manner of weird, wonderful, and whizzy gadgets over the next few days. We're hopefully going to see everything from big screen TVs to tiny projectors, and run the gamut from gas-guzzling supercars to the greenest technologies around. To help me beat the odds and get a handle on what's going on, we've got a couple of pod people in tow today. Technology writer and well-known card shark, Will Head. And we welcome back the woman who's been banned from every casino between here and Reno, Kat Hannaford, the news editor of T3.com. Are you both feeling fully Bulmerized?
I am not quite as Bulmerized as I could be, but, you know, it's got early days yet.
Maybe 20% Bulmerized.
20% Bulmerized.
It'd be quite dangerous if you got Bulmerized. That man's heavy.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave it, so let's move on.
Please welcome Chief Executive Officer Steve Ballmer.
Since this is my first time at CES, I've got to admit I've gotten a lot of advice and a lot of questions. I thought I'd share with you just a few of the messages I've gotten today. From Bill Gates, Bill said, make sure, Steve, you're at CES, not that other convention in Las Vegas. And I don't understand the one from Jerry Yang, but he said, why do you keep ignoring my friend requests on Facebook? I'm ready though, and I'm here. I am a PC. And proud of it. I'm really excited about the progress we have made with Windows 7. We are on track to deliver the best version of Windows ever. We're putting in all the right ingredients, simplicity, reliability, and speed, and working hard to get it right and to get it ready. So today I'm excited to announce that we are releasing the beta of Windows 7.
That was Steve Ballmer introducing some of Microsoft's new ideas, including Windows 7, which will be available very soon as beta code. I'll admit it up front, I thought it was fairly lackluster. The announcements were all what we expected, and we didn't see anything particularly exciting. I mean, did anyone come away energized or excited here?
I kind of thought there'd be a 10% chance they might announce a Zune phone, which would have been something exciting and new that no one knew about. But really, it was just Windows 7. We all know about that. There wasn't just anything that kind of grabbed you in that kind of speech.
I was very underwhelmed myself, and it was a bit boring to see Microsoft trot out the same technology that we saw at the last CES. I think that they just need to get a couple of new tricks up their sleeve for next year, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fair, I think, to say that this was, in pretty much all aspects, the same speech we've seen for the last few years, actually, of, you know, the connected home and all of the devices working together, and isn't that brilliant?
And yet we're still not there yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how long does the future take, goddammit? And what about Windows 7? I mean, they showed off some of the UI touches, which all seem to be fairly Apple-ish, you know. You can drag a thing onto your dock.
Well, we've definitely seen all of that before, but just on another operating system.
Do we think they've run out of tricks completely? Or
I mean, I think the problem is that they run into risky ground. They do another Vista where they come along with sort of desktops with water pouring down them and things like that, and active desktops, all of that kind of stuff. And we just don't want to get in a situation where it gets overhyped again and then it's a huge letdown. But ultimately, Windows 7 has to offer something more over XP or Vista. Otherwise, why would you buy it?
Yeah, well, I think we'll wait and see what happens when everyone gets that code, downloads it, and sees what happens to their machine afterwards. And if you want to find out any more about Windows 7 and Microsoft's other news, you can get more analysis, blogs and videos at guardian.co.uk/technology. So we've heard Microsoft making some noise, but let's get a quick flavour of what else is going on at CES this year. The show floors are only really just opening up, but fortunately we've already had a sneak peek of some of the technologies that are going to be on show. So I'm going to ask you both to take us on a whistle-stop tour of the exciting things you've seen. Will, you were talking about wireless power.
Yes, I mean, this is the thing, the future. Power without wires. It's that thing that they've done wireless for everything else. We've got wireless communications, we've got Wi-Fi, we've got all of that. But so far, we currently need to still plug things in. And this isn't sort of one of those solutions where you just your iPhone charges while you're walking around. You still have to dock it onto a mat. But it does remove that problem where you've got plugs and sockets and all of that kind of interconnectivity. It never quite works. You've got different connectors. With this, as long as your iPod is in the right case, you just place it on a mat and then there it is, it charges. And that's all there is to it. It's a very simple solution. And it's not actually that expensive. I think the mat was $100 and then each charging adapter was $40. So they're not going for massively overpriced.
So you put a new battery inside your
There are various
device.
Different ways of doing it. So like they have an iPod dock which sits on the mat and draws its power through the mat, and then you can then once it's charged up, moved around, it will sort of charge up your iPod. They have a BlackBerry case, so they have a special case for the BlackBerry, and the receiver is in the case. And it's not actually that much thicker than a normal case. Another one they had was some rechargeable batteries, so you just click your batteries into this holder, place that on the mat, and then that will charge up while it's in place.
Okay, sounds really interesting. One of the big things we always see in abundance here is TVs of all shapes and big sizes usually. Kat, what have you seen any tellies to get you going?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a distinct theme today amongst all the TV manufacturers, and that's widgets. I mean, we've seen this, you know, a couple of times previously before, but Toshiba, LG, Samsung, possibly more, I'm not sure, they've all thrown their weight into the widget ring, and they've announced you know, support with Yahoo.
The widget ring is so basically they're saying, you know, they're bringing the internet
to bringing the internet to your TV, to your front room, so you can get all these amazing little widgets on your TV, so you can get news, weather, updates on what your favorite celebrity is doing, and so on. It's just leaving me to think, though, that anyone who's got a PS3 or a Wii or any sort of a set-top box or anything like that, they've got that already, really. And I mean, chances are these TVs are probably going to cost quite a bit, and most people who can afford one of these TVs probably owns a PS3 or something like that anyway, so they've got power to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure if widgets will really be taking off as much as Samsung would like to believe.
Talking of Samsung, we had a quick whip through what different people had released, and everyone brought up a Samsung product of one type or another. Well, you like their OLED screens.
Yeah, they've got a huge array of, so they're all concept ones at the moment, so they're not fully ready to go yet. But one of the ones they had was a folding display, which obviously the idea is you can have it in a phone, so you have like your normal display on the inside, on the outside, and then once you open it up, you've got twice the width of display. The other one they had was a see-through OLED display. So the idea they gave here was sort of for a car, you could have your GPS sort of projected onto the windscreen, but then you can see through it, obviously, so you don't crash into things.
Yeah, so a kind of augmented reality sort of display.
So they obviously, they've got a lot of stuff going on with OLED in that area, so it looks quite interesting, the stuff they're doing there.
And Kat, you had a few of your own things that you were looking at as well.
Yeah, the PMP, the portable media device, really thrilled me. It's called the P3, and it's got haptics, which basically means that when you touch the touchscreen, you actually get some sort of feedback in your
it's
fingers.
It's a little buzz, isn't it?
Yeah, and it becomes quite addictive. I mean, anyone that's got an iPhone will be familiar with it. So this P3 PMP has that, as well as, you know, a bunch of other sort of MP3 player type functionality, and you can, you know, watch videos on there and so forth. And it'll probably be quite affordable as well, I imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really thrilling me.
What about the silly stuff then? I mean, there are quite a lot of toys and that
a big
kind of thing.
Playground,
yeah.
Anyway, Vegas, but obviously it brings out the kid in everybody.
Oh, you've prepared that one.
And for me, I mean, it depends on how much of a console sort of fan you are. But if you remember the early NES, there was Duck Hunt on it, which was a great childhood game. You got a gun with your console and you shot the ducks as they flew across your TV screen. I think it's interactive toy concepts have come up with a real life duck hunt. I mean, not in terms of like they don't get a real duck and shoot it, but they've got this robotic duck. It's one of those ones about, I think that we've seen insects before, which have wings, they flap and they fly around. They've taken that sort of concept, put it in a bird one, and it comes with an infrared gun. So you launch the bird into the air, and then once you hit it three times, each time you hit it, it stops flying for a little while and then recovers. Mm. Hit it three times and it drops to the floor dead. And that's the basic game. And we saw it being demonstrated in quite a packed conference room with many people demonstrating their products. And I don't think they got many favours off the crowd there when they were kept on flying their duck into them while there were other people were trying to do demonstrations. But it, for me, that was one of the best things I've seen so far.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. I think, I mean, you know, throws me back to the days of my NES and and endless attempts to try and be any good at that game. How about you, Kat? You were talking about the spy ball from WoWie.
Yeah, I mean, WoWie, they created the RoboSapien and the Spikey. It's this spy ball is quite similar to the Spikey, which was a little robot that went sort of ran around your house and it had a webcam on. So the spy ball has a webcam as well, but you can actually control it this time using your mobile phone, your laptop, supposedly your PSP, DS, and your PS3. So you can not only control it using that device, but it also streams the webcam footage back to the controlling device. So you could effectively be watching the footage on this spy ball. You know, the spy ball's running around the house, but you're watching the footage on your PSP.
There's something nefarious you could do with that, isn't there? You could get up to all kinds of shenanigans. And is there anything that you haven't seen that yet that you're looking forward to seeing? Because we haven't seen everything yet.
I mean, I'm looking forward to see that Sony have... They've not quite gone into the small, cheap laptop game, but obviously Sony's been doing small laptops for a long, long time. And they've obviously seen Asus come along and pretty much steal their thunder. So they've come out with, I think it's the Vio P, which I haven't actually physically seen yet, but I am very excited about it because I used to be a big Sony sort of small laptop fan. The only problem is I think I got the release through today and I think it's about £850, which even if you take like the Asus S101, I think that's about £450 and people are saying that's too expensive for a netbook.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how an £850 one goes, but even still, it's going to have that Sony sort of wow factor to it.
Yeah, and how about you, Kat? Is there anything you've got your eyes on?
Yeah, I really want to see the e-keyboard from Asus.
Someone was telling me about that.
Yeah, I mean, they're describing it as a keyboard with a fully functional PC integrated. So it's, you know, usual QWERTY keypad, but then it's also got a little touchscreen.
Doesn't it have an Atom processor in it
as
well? Yeah, it just seems insane for a keyboard.
I mean, it's obviously a prototype, and I'd be very surprised if it ever hits the shelves, but my goodness, Asus.
I heard that they were saying it's pretty close to production, actually.
Really?
Which, but I thought it was just weird because it threw me back to the days of, you know, your Speccy or your C64.
Yes, where it was all integrated into one unit.
Or my Amiga, which was, you know, my favourite computer of all time, yes. I think. But, you know, basically your keyboard with a bunch of
is
stuff stuck
computer.
Into it. Yeah, so maybe it's back to the future this time around.
Definitely, and the wireless HDMI as well. Mm. That is, you know, shocking.
Excellent. Well, we'll be bringing you more news and video reports from the show floor, but we want to hear from you too, so don't forget to leave your comments and tell us what you want to see from CES. Now, back to Microsoft. Earlier on, I got the chance to speak to Robbie Bark, the company's President of Entertainment and Devices. That means he's in charge of the Xbox, Windows Mobile, Media Center, and Zune. I spoke to him about the Xbox versus PS3 and whether he's ready to carry on spending heavily to build Microsoft's market share. But first, I couldn't help asking, just a few days after thousands of Zunes stopped working thanks to a software glitch, why does Microsoft hardware keep having problems?
When you do have a problem like we had, then people judge, well, how did you treat me and what did you do? And people looked and said, hey, they've recognized a problem. They've been straightforward with us. They're fixing it, both in new products and helping customers who have problems. And, you know, I think mostly they look and say, hey, that's the right thing to do. And I love the product. And so they've stuck with us in a great way. And that's really a tribute as much to the product as it is anything else.
How did you learn about it? And how
do you think you dealt with it the right way?
Well, the team certainly learned about it very quickly because we get reports. You know, we monitor our customer base. Customers contact us. You look at blogs and you see it. So we saw it quickly. We had a team mobilized very quickly, analyzed it, understood what the problem was, tried to get as much information out to Zoom customers as we could. You know, in this case, thankfully it was a 1 day thing. You get to the next day and things are fine. And you'd hope that these kinds of things wouldn't happen. Occasionally they do, and you try to deal with them in a straightforward way with the customers and make sure they know that you're trying to help them. And I think in this case we actually did a very good job of that. And it's unfortunate, but I think we're past it, and our customers will respect the way we handle it.
I suppose you're getting more experience in doing this, aren't you? You know, Xbox, Zoom, you know, you've probably got more experience of that stuff than other executives in your position.
Well, you know, the truth is, if you look across any technology product, you know, if you're in this space, you're going to have things like this come up. You know, Sony's had things like this come up. Apple's had things like this come up. We've had things like this come up. It's a little bit of the nature of the space. And the things people will judge you on over time is how effectively you need to deal with it. And, you know, my view is figure out what you think's right for the customer and figure out the right way to do it.
I was looking back at some stuff you said and the recent results. You said, you know, 2008's been a good year for Xbox and for your division because you started making a profit. 2007, you said, you know, next year we're going to make a profit. 2008, you did start making a profit.
Right.
You've just started turning profit at the time we're going to see a contraction in consumer spending.
Sure.
How's that gonna affect you, and what are you gonna do?
You know, in the short term, it means we have to be careful with how we spend our money. We have to continue to hopefully drive great value with our customers and drive success in that way. Does it make it harder to produce a great P&L? Sure, of course it does. For me, the more important thing, because we're building a business for the long term, is how do I think this plays out over the next 3 to 5 years? And so my job is to make sure we're doing the right investments in the right amount now so that when this reset sort of settles out and the economy starts to recover and we start to see growth, we're well positioned.
Your division has taken a lot of investment from Microsoft to get it where it is now.
Sure.
Do you see that kind of level of investment being needed to carry on? Is the money there?
We have a strategy across the division. That means, you know, we're investing in the TV space, whether it's with Media Room, Media Center, or Xbox. We're investing in the mobile space with Windows Mobile, the portable space with Zune. You're going to see those, investments, and certainly on the R&D side, continue. You know, might we tweak more one place, less someplace else? Of course, we do that all the time.
In all of the spaces you operate, there are, you know, major competitors.
Sure.
But if we take Xbox, if we assume Nintendo Wii is a kind of not a direct competitor in the same way.
It's a competitor, but not as direct as Sony.
As Sony. So, and they didn't have such a good holiday season as you. I mean, do you think you've kind of won that battle now?
Well, I don't think about it that way because, you know, this is it's a long competitive process.
But if you're all fighting for the same shrinking pot of consumer spending, then, well, you know, you want to take it from somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, certainly. Certainly, you know, if you look at what's happened this generation so far, we've been very successful. And we've been more successful than Sony, and we have a pretty significant lead over them. You know, how do you forecast the future? I don't. So we have to keep working hard to make sure we're delivering great value to customers. But, you know, we feel good about the lead we've created. Better games, more games, Xbox Live. Those are things that speak to people, and that's why we've been successful.
You just mentioned Xbox Live there. I mean, that's been a massively successful part of what you do. And yet in other parts of the business, people say Microsoft doesn't get the internet. It doesn't kind of understand how to be connected. And yet here you are, you know, 17 million people signed up. So how do you take back what you've discovered and say to your colleagues, you know, hey, we can do this?
Well, the reality is my colleagues have done it very successfully as well. I mean, there are hundreds of millions of people on Messenger, hundreds of millions of people on Hotmail, hundreds of millions of people using our online assets. You know, the reality is we probably get more credit for Xbox Live and not as much credit as we should for some of those other online services. So we exchange ideas with them all the time. We actually share a bunch of technology. We use a bunch of the same core technology. But I don't think of it as, oh gosh, we're doing it right in Xbox and somebody else isn't doing it right, because they're clearly doing it right. They have tons of customers, more customers than we do.
Do you believe, some people say, you know, like gaming is a fairly recession-proof area. I mean, do you agree with that?
Well, I think certainly people always want to be entertained. Recession-proof, I think, is probably a misnomer, because I think no matter what business you're in, what's going on now has some effect on every industry. Now, in our hardware sales, for example, we had very good sales, a very strong holiday season. You know, probably on the software side, we'd say, you know, people still bought a lot of software, so it was a good software season. But if people were buying five titles when they bought a console before, maybe they're only buying four now. And so there is an impact. But I certainly would say that it's a business that holds up well.
And do you think that carries forward to, you know, just the general business? I mean, we're hearing a lot of talk at the moment about, is Microsoft going to be one of the companies that has a round of layoffs? Are you having to look at things like that?
Well, I'm certainly not going to comment on all the rumors around layoffs, because the rumors are sort of all over the map. But I think we're doing what everybody does, and what we've always done, and whether the economy's good or bad, is we look at our resources and say, do we have them deployed in the right way?
Your division is a long-term division. You know, you've been working on this, getting to cross the finish line for a long time. So do you have a point where you think we've reached the level of success that we can kind of cement it then?
No, there's no nirvana in what we do. You continue to build the business. The business evolves. The technology changes. It goes in a new direction, and you go with it. You see a new opportunity, you drive it in a new direction. You know, I could have said, well, gosh, we built the Xbox business. That was a destination point. But no, that was just a step on the road to what we call connected entertainment. So hence the investment in Zune, the work we're doing on the TV with Media Center and Media Room, the work we're doing in Windows Mobile. You're going to see that continue to grow, and we'll keep changing with it.
Robbie Bark of Microsoft there, explaining how he thinks he's going to make it through the recession. That's it for today, but we're not finished with CES just yet. We'll be bringing you yet another daily podcast tomorrow. And we've also got Charles, Jemima and Jack blogging furiously with all the news all day, every day. Have your say by leaving your comments, emailing us at tech@guardian.co.uk or pinging us via Twitter, Facebook or Skype. And if you want the details on actually how to do that, you can find them at guardian.co.uk/techweekly. Phew. All that's left is for me to say thanks to my guest, Kat Hannaford.
Thank you very much.
And Will Head.
It's been a pleasure, Bobby.
And to our producer back in London, Scott Corley. I'm Bobby Johnson, and thank you for listening.